you for joining us here at Truth and Love Ministries for this week's message, where it is our desire to connect people to God, connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. So connect with us on Facebook at Truth and Love Jax, or leave us a message on our website at truthandlove.tv. While you're there, stay in the know with our weekly news broadcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Now here's the message, already in progress.
Not that serious, y'all. Sometimes we ought to just laugh at some stuff. It's not that serious. I know my name. I know my name. Amen. We're so appreciative and thankful. Thankful for yet another opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Come on, join with me. Join with me on your feet if you can. Just one verse of scripture as we stand in honor and respect out of the author of the scripture. Joshua chapter 24, verse number 15. We're reading from the Message translation. I didn't let the screen people know that I was going back to Joshua, but if you go back to one of the old messages, probably All in the Family, it'll be on there, the very first verse of scripture, Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, or just go to it in the Message translation. It's more than a notion working that screen, y'all, more than a notion. I asked one brother, would he volunteer to work the screen? He said, no, you ain't finna be fussing at me. I'm good. So we thank God for the multimedia ministry. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, it'll be on the screen in a moment. If not, just look with me in your Bible. Joshua 24, verse 15 says, and there it is, if you decide that it's a bad thing to worship God, then choose a God you'd rather serve and do it today. Choose one of the gods your ancestors worship from the country beyond the river, or one of the gods of the Amorites on whose land you're now living. And here, this is what I want to echo in your spirit. I want you to get this. As for me and my family, we'll worship God. Or as we most notably know it, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Tonight, we're in part 7 of a healthy family series. Tonight, from the topic, my family needs a breakthrough. My family needs a breakthrough. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, because our families are in need of a breakthrough. And God, we ask you, God, as we approach your word, to open our hearts and our minds, God, that where we may realize and recognize where that breakthrough is coming, and God, to realize a breakthrough that we oftentimes already have. We thank you, we appreciate you, and it's in Jesus' name, somebody who love them, say amen, amen, amen. My family needs a breakthrough. My family needs a breakthrough. I tell you, I can't think of any tougher job or responsibility that Joshua had. Joshua had to fill the shoes of one by the name of Moses. Moses was God's man. Moses was the one that led the people of God out of bondage and out of Egyptian bondage, led them across the Jordan, led them across the Red Sea, rather, saw the 10 plagues. God was with this man of God, Moses. Joshua, if you will, he did what God had called him to do, and he stepped up to the plate. God told him early on, if you will, meditate on my word, Joshua. Don't lean to the left. Don't lean to the right. But if you will only observe and to do that which is written in the word, he tells them, you will have good success. That's really the only place in the King James Bible that you will see where God gives us a recipe for success. He tells us that we will meditate on his word. Don't look to the left, don't look to the right. But he says, if you will study my word and obey my word, then you will have good success. If we were to look at Joshua's life, I believe that all of us would agree that Joshua had a successful leadership. If we would look at Joshua's life, God allowed Joshua to lead God's people. They went on across the Jordan and entered into the promised land, and they began to drive out the enemy. The Bible says little and by little. But now as we look at our verse of scripture in Joshua 24, really the last chapter in the book of Joshua. Joshua is making a declaration to the people of God that he's led for all these years. And Joshua understands something very important and very vital that I want all of us to get by the time we're done with this series. I want all of us to know and understand that we must leave an inheritance for the generation that's coming after us. Joshua understood that here it is. It was difficult enough to fill Moses' shoes. It was difficult enough to do what it is that God had instructed him to do as relates to leading God's people further into the promised land and obtaining what God had for them. But here it is, Joshua, after he had led the people into the promised land, now he's getting ready to transition. He's getting ready to leave the scene. And Joshua stands up and make this bold declaration in Joshua chapter 24, verse number 15. And it's on the screen. Joshua 24, 15. He says, if you decide that it's a bad thing to worship God. He said, if you decide it's a bad thing to worship God, he said, then choose a God. Joshua 24, verse 15. That's why you don't change screens, people, in the middle of the message. Joshua 24, 15 says, if you decide that it's a bad thing to worship God, then choose a God you'd rather serve. And he says, do it today. Choose one of the gods of your ancestors worship from the country beyond the river, or one of the gods of the Amorites. He says, on whose land you're now dwelling. And here, look what Joshua says, but me and my family, we're going to worship God. And here, Joshua understands. He's getting ready to leave. He's getting ready to move on. But he has to understand, and he knows something when it comes to his sons, when it comes to his daughters, when it comes to his grandchildren. Here it is. There's something about having an authentic relationship with God that should be perpetual in my family. Here it is. There's something about my family know who God is and have a real relationship with him, not knowing my mother's God, not knowing my father's God, not knowing my grandma them God, but no, I must have a relationship with God for, come on, help me preach it. I'm going to have a relationship with God for myself. And it's so important and it's so vital, and I keep driving this home because one generation removed from Joshua, one generation after Joshua have left, Joshua's gone off the scene, you see the people of God in Joshua chapter 21. Now it's on the screen. Joshua 21 verse 25. Verse 25 says, in those days there was no king in Israel. He says everyone did what was right in his own eyes. I told you so many times, this is the second time this said in the book of Judges, but this is the last verse in the last chapter in the book of Joshua, and really this is just one generation removed from Joshua. Joshua's gone, and now there's no leader, there's no king, there's no set man of God that God has put in place, and now the people are just simply doing everything they want to do. Oh, can I tell you that it is a very tragic situation when you have an individual that just does what's right in their own eyes. Come on, if I was you, I'd jot this verse of scripture down in Proverbs 14 and 12 and Proverbs 16, 25. It says that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Whenever it is that God allows me to live according to the way I think things ought to be, whenever God leads me to myself and allows me to go and meander through life and go through life doing things the way I want to do them, then we will have a problem. That's what's going on in the book of Judges. Here it is. Moses, the great one, and arguably one of the greatest leaders that ever lived. Joshua stood up behind Moses and led God's people even further, even deeper in the things of God. Now, two generations removed from these two great pioneers, two great men of God, you see the nation of Israel in tragedy. You see the nation of Israel in turmoil. How much more will it be for our families? How much more will we look at what God has done and what God desires to do if we are not, here it is, the Bible says it like this, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children, children, children. Come on, I'm not just talking about life insurance. I'm not just talking about 401k. I'm not just talking about mutual funds. I'm not just talking about a stamp collection, or in my case, a basketball card collection. Yeah, I got a basketball card collection. That's not the only thing I'm going to hand down to my children. children to not just a vast library, but no, I should leave to my children values and morals. Come on, I ought to leave for my children the standard and a heart towards the things of God. It should be the prayers. Come on, I'm standing on the prayers of my mother. I'm living off the prayers that my mama prayed for me. My mama anointed me with oil. My mama covered me. My mother took care of me. And it is, whenever it is that the life insurance ran out, the prayers that take me to my next duty station. Come on, somebody. Whenever the oil that she placed on me, even though I wiped it off my head, it's something that I just can't rub off of my spirit and off of my life. It is something that we ought to know. What am I saying? We ought to have a healthy family. God is prescribed us to have healthy families. God is prescribed for all of us to be healthy individuals. When I'm a healthy individual, then I will have a healthy family, and I will leave something to my family that's more than money. I will leave something with my family that's more valuable than some collectibles. I will leave something with my family that will go on from generation after generation after generation. And here it is, whenever the people of God remove God from the picture and began to do what they wanted to do, that's why they found themselves in turmoil. They found themselves in struggle. They found themselves in bondage. They found themselves in one dilemma after another dilemma because they forgot about God. And can I tell you, any nation that forgets about God, he said, will be turned into hell. You might not be in a literal hell with weeping and gnashing of teeth here on earth, but there will be hell in your house. Come on, somebody. There'll be hell in your marriage. There'll be hell with your children. There'll be hell in every situation in your life because you've forgotten about God. And God said, anyone that forgets about me, I'll turn them over. If you study the book of Judges, a very phenomenal book, even in chapter 10, I told the church earlier today, in chapter 10, God had gotten so perturbed with the people of God, so frustrated with the people of God in chapter 10, he said, you know what? I'm not going to deliver you no more. He had gotten so frustrated with them, he says, don't cry to me, cry to your other gods. He said, don't come to me. He said, no, I told you what you need to do. I've instructed you. I've led you. I fed you. I've nurtured you. I protected you. I provided for you. He said, if you want to be delivered, go cry to your other gods. I don't know about you, but I don't ever want to be in a predicament that where God say, go help, go find some help somewhere else. I don't ever want to be in a predicament that where God will say, no, I'm not going to help you. He literally said, I will not deliver you again. Oh, but because of his grace and because of his mercy, he yet and still delivered them again. But I don't know about you. I don't want to live off of God's mercy only. I don't want to live off of God's grace only. No, I want to be able to live in the abundance of God and the favor of God. And the Bible says at least seven times in the book of Judges, you see this pattern. You see this cycle that where the people of God will stray away from the word of God. They'll stray away from the things of God. God will then allow the enemy to overtake them and oppress them because they've forgotten about God. How oftentimes in our lives does God seemingly remove his grace, remove his blessing from our life because we're doing what we want to do? And here it is, God will at times, he'll step back and he'll let the enemy have his way in our life because he wants us to get our act together. How oftentimes does God remove his blessing off of us? Come on, we do it with our children. We want our children to get a lesson. As much as we love them, as much as we want to come to their rescue in every situation, we'll back ourselves or remove ourselves from the situation so life can slap them in the face and they can learn, no baby, the iron is hot. No baby, the stove is hot. No baby, daddy said don't open up that door. Come on, I do it in the life of my own children. We was up here one day during the day and Kendall was with me, and I told Kendall, who's 7 years old, I always tell her, when somebody knock on the door, don't you come running to the door. You stay away from the door. If you hear a bump or something at the door, you go the opposite opposite way. We was up here one day during the day, and somebody came and knocked on the door, and she opened the door. How many know that I told, yes sir, I told her up from the top to the bottom. Thank God there was somebody that we knew. Thank God it was somebody that was safe. Thank God I heard the click on the door and heard her open the door. But what if that would have been Freddy Krueger? Well, that would have been somebody that she didn't know, and they would have snatched her. So here I had to touch her that day, as difficult as I wanted to do. I had to put my hands on. Oh, I know what the problem is. You don't beat your kids no more. That's what it is. Oh, I know what the problem is. You don't reach out and touch nobody. I know what it is. You've gotten so sophisticated, you put them in time out. No, no, no. The devil is a liar. I take a time out and catch my breath, and I come right back upside. They ain't going to help me, Miss Haskins. That's what the problem is. We ain't touching them no more. But I touched her, and I promise you, I asked her. This was probably, I don't know how long ago this was. This was several months ago, and just the other day, she was getting close to that line, the way she was getting ready to get another one. And I said, when was the last time? See, you acting real froggy. When was the last time Daddy really gave it to you? And she said, when that time I opened up the door, y'all ain't going to talk to her. So she remember, that's my point. She remember when I put my hands on her. She remembers, I'm not going to open that. I don't care if it's Santa Claus on the other door. I don't care if it's Jesus. He's not going to open, not today. I'm not opening that door. And sometimes God does the same thing with us, the way he has to touch us. Come on, a good father, Hebrews 12, he chastens his child. He beats his child. And God did this in the life of the people of God over and over again. And you see this vicious cycle. And oftentimes when we look at our families, we see this vicious cycle, the way it seems as if whenever we try to get ahead, seems like the devil himself knocks us back. As soon as we get in the clear, as soon as we're getting ready to get our breakthrough, as soon as we're getting ready to get ahead of the game, something else comes down the pipe, and it's a vicious cycle. But I don't know about you, I'm getting ready to break the cycle off of every generational curse. I'm getting ready to break the cycle off of every demonic activity, every satanic scenario, every foul spirit, every unclean spirit, everything that want to attach itself to the Nesbitt family. I'm rendering it powerless right now in the name of Jesus, and I'm breaking the back of the devil that want to latch itself on the men in my family, on the ladies of my family. Come on, somebody. And I release the power of God. In the real sense, I'm trying to help you tonight. In the real sense, what our families need is a breakthrough. We need a breakthrough. You know what? I found one quote about a breakthrough, and it's on the screen. One quote of a breakthrough is this. Breakthroughs happen when limiting thoughts and behaviors are challenged. See, a breakthrough, you're breaking through something, or you're going through the ceiling. The ceiling is symbolic of limitations. See, when I break through the thing that is limiting, see, this ceiling in this room is limiting us from going through it. See, this ceiling here is keeping the weather out. It's keeping the sun out. It's keeping the rain out. It's keeping the bugs out. It's keeping the birds out. But at the same time, it's keeping us in. And there are some ceilings in our lives, some limitations, if you will, some thoughts and some behaviors that's stopping us from breaking through, that's stopping us from going to where we need to go. And here, this is what we need to do. Breakthroughs happen when my limiting thoughts and behaviors are challenged. See, there are some things that have been so bad in our families for so long. There are some things that have been so negative in our families for so long, that we have accepted the limitations of life. We've accepted the struggles of life. We've accepted what the enemy has done in our life. But no, I'm looking for some radical people. I'm looking for some people that believe God's word at face value. And they're saying, I'm not going to accept the limitations. I'm not going to accept what a person says and what people say about my family. But no, I'm getting ready to break through. You got to challenge the status quo of your family. Stop always saying that it's always going to be like this. Rebuke yourself when you start talking about it won't be no better. Rebuke yourself when you begin to say ain't nobody coming out the hood. Rebuke yourself when you start saying, well, it's always going to be something and something's always going to be wrong. You know, you got to learn how to speak the power of God and God's word over your life. You got to rebuke the enemy and even rebuke yourself from stop saying that things are always going to be how they are. I'm preaching good up in here. That's what a breakthrough is. I found this as well. It's not on the screen. Just listen closely. A breakthrough is a moment in time when the impossible becomes possible. That's what Tony Robbins said. He says a breakthrough is that moment, that very moment when the impossible becomes possible. When that thing that seems as if would never happen or could never happen, when it looks obtainable. And see, what am I saying? When you and I receive God's word concerning us, when you and I receive God's word about us, then we will be able to look at our impossible situations in such a way that we're now able to handle them and we're able to do them when we began to look at God's word and receive God's word. I heard Isaiah say about God, God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. He said, my ways are not your ways. He said, as far as the heavens are from the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways and your way. God says in my word, he sent forth his word and he healed them all. When I receive God's word, it makes things that were impossible, it makes things that were difficult, it makes me be able to handle it in situations when I couldn't get no peace, in situations when I couldn't find my joy, in situations when there was no even, it wasn't even an option on the table for me to get a breakthrough. But when I receive God's word, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. When I receive God's word, there's nothing too difficult, there's nothing too hard. I heard Jeremiah say, he said, behold, I am the Lord your God, and there's nothing too hard for me. I don't know how you feel about it, but you can get your breakthrough. You can get your breakthrough. And in fact, your family can break through. Look, see, last week we talked about Gideon. Somebody say Gideon. And we talked about how Gideon and all of the struggle, all of the turmoil, all of the pain that they were experiencing, they went through it in their family. And it took Gideon, for God getting in touch with them, receiving the word of God, and yet Gideon raising his level of expectation and commitment to the things of God. Gideon received what God said. And now we want to talk about another man here in Judges chapter 11, verse number 1. Look with me, if you will. Judges chapter 11, verse number 1. Now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty warrior. Let me stop right there. See, I think sometimes we miss some significance because we read too fast. Now here, listen, the people of God were in a difficult situation. And jump on the pages of our Bible is a man by the name of Jephthah. Jephthah is very significant. His name actually means something significant. In biblical times, I've said earlier that in biblical times, the names of individuals had some significance and some weight to them. It's only in our day and time we just kind of take two words that we like and kind of put them together, and then we name. Come on, y'all gonna talk to me. I can't talk. My name's Shakobi. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me. So I don't know what you meant, Mama, when you say Shakobi. But I do know William is the defender of the kingdom. I do know that. Here, but y'all are going to help me, warrior, young warrior. Here, listen to me. What am I saying? This brother Jephthah, his name means he will open. He will open. Come on, don't miss this. He will set free and liberate. He does open. He sets free. Then it goes further. God opens. Jephthah names mean the breaker through. Come on, y'all, go talk to me here. Normally, I save information like that to the very end. But I want to give it to you up front to let you know that your family can and will receive a breakthrough when you realize who you are, when you receive God's word about you, when you receive God's word concerning you, and when you hear that God is able to do something in you and through you, you are the breakthrough that your family needs. Come on, somebody. I could have said that your family needs you. That's what I could have said. Your family needs you. Here, Jephthah, his name means to open. And there are some of us that God has positioned in our family to open up a portal or open up a gateway straight from heaven that my family can receive some things that they normally would not have received. But God put me at the right place at the right time to open up some things to my family. Come on, y'all. God had put me in my family to set them free, to liberate them. Oh, come on. Let me testify for a moment. My wife got saved, her entire family got saved. When my wife got saved, now you know they went to church, they had a relationship with God, but not like how they are now. My wife got saved for real though in 2002, I believe it was 2002. She got saved. She brought her daddy, she brought her mama, she brought her sister, her brother, her uncle, her auntie, and here God did something in her life, and here it set something free in the entire family. Come on. What I'm trying to tell you is that you are the deliverance that your family need. You are the breakthrough that your family need. See, you're not just preaching just for you. You're not just teaching just for you. You're not just studying God's word for you. You're not just singing for you. You're just not ushering for you. I feel this thing in my bones and that. You're just not doing what you do for you. But no, you are for the deliverance of your entire family. You are the breaker in your family. See, some yokes won't get destroyed until you destroy them. Some shackles won't get loose until you loose them. Some bondages won't be broken off until you broke them off. And here God wants to do something in you and in your family.